Last week, we celebrated the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And today, we celebrate the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. I think it's very fitting that we celebrate the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ after Trinity Sunday, because there's a connection there. We know Jesus is a second person of the Holy Trinity. And today we celebrate that we can share in the life of the Trinity because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of his sacrifice, he died for us on the cross. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. What Jesus is doing right now is sitting next to the Father. And every time he needs to, he only needs to show his Father the wounds that he received at the cross. And that's how he intercedes for us. And the Father looks back at him, and in love he remembers the sacrifice that he himself sent his Son to suffer on the cross. And then we are fine because we have someone interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. In my homily for the Trinity last week, I talked about the triune God that dwells within us and how the Trinity stands in opposition to a highly divided world. God is one in three persons, a unity of three persons in one essence with no divisions. In opposition to that essence, the world stands highly divided. We see divisions everywhere and in every aspect of our lives and of our world. We see that our nation is divided into blue states and red states, pro-life, pro-abortion. Our own parishes too are divided. Our own Christian world is divided into different ecclesial communities. I asked the question, why is our world divided? The world is divided because oftentimes we fail to recognize the one God that dwells within us, and instead we turn to the God that we think we are. We are then divided in ourselves, and if we are divided in ourselves, then the world would be also divided. So how do we go about switching from contemplating the God that we think we are to contemplating the real triune God that dwells within us? What is the solution to divisions in our world? And what are we to do to overcome hateful division in our lands? John Paul the Great, in his apostolic letter for the new millennium, Novo Millennio Inente, says that in order to overcome divisions in our world, we should contemplate the Trinity within. How do we go about contemplating the Trinity within? How do we do that? The Pope suggests that we should pray, but how do we pray? John Paul says that in order to pray, we need to contemplate the face of Christ on the cross. John Paul says that if we contemplate the face of Jesus on the cross, we see the face of the Father in the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. As we see the face of God in the face of Jesus who's on the cross, we will be able to overcome divisions because we see that there's a triune God that is three persons in one nature. The nature, the essence of God is love. In John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for the sake of the world. So if we contemplate the face of Christ on the cross, we see the face of God, the Father, who's the one who sent his Son to suffer for us. And we see the essence of the Trinity, love. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, said our Lord. God the Father gave us his only Son for love of us. And in doing that, God revealed his essence in Christ. It is in Christ that the essence of God is revealed, and that essence is love. Where do we go in our divided world to find God, this God that is three persons in one? In a more tangible and concrete way, we find the essence of God in the Eucharist. In contemplating the face of Christ on the cross, we realize that God is a personal God, is a human God, and his essence is love. and he sent his only Son for our sake, to be crucified for love of us. So we can say that the Eucharist is, in fact, the incarnation is the center of the Trinity. We can see in Christ the dynamics of the Trinity, that the Trinity is love. They constantly give each other everything they have back and forth, as we saw in the Gospel last week. They give everything they have. God the Father has given everything to the Son, and the Son gives everything back to the Father. And that everything that the Father has given to Christ, Christ in turn, he gives all that to us, everything. And that everything is his life, and his life is love. How do we share in that life and that love? In the Eucharist, by receiving the body and blood of Christ, because it contains the second person of the Trinity. And in the second person of the Trinity, when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we glorify God in the Holy Spirit, who is the one who inspires us to praise God in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist in body, blood, soul, and divinity. We can say that with all confidence. And it was all this revealed by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed the inner dynamics of the Trinity. Because in the Gospel of John, as we see last month, Jesus introduces the Father to us in the readings of the Gospels. And we see that praying in the Spirit, we can contemplate this Trinity, and we get a more profound understanding of His essence. Now, in the Eucharist, we are made partakers of the dynamics of the life of the Trinity, love. We can say then with confidence that Jesus is at the center of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals to us the dynamics of the life of the Trinity. And we can learn that it was by love that God sent His Son for the sake of us. The Eucharist is then the life of God that has a dynamic of love. And by receiving communion, we share in this life of the Trinity. And this makes us new people. Every time we come and receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, we are made new people. And we do not fear the future, because we can always return to the source of life. The Trinity is life. And if we come back always to the source of life, to be renewed, we ourselves become new people in Christ. And by becoming new people, we can overcome all sorts of divisions. What is then the benefit of becoming new people in Christ? If we become new people, again, we can overcome divisions in ourselves and then in the world. When we receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, we become more loving people. Some of the effects of receiving Jesus Christ, His body and blood, soul and divinity, is that we become more loving people. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we cannot help but to express what's inside of us. When He comes in us, we should not impede the outward expressions to come out and show the world what we have received inside of us. That's why, for example, today after the Mass, we will have a Eucharistic procession. The Eucharistic procession with the Blessed Sacrament is an outward expression of our inner life. After we have received communion, we go out and share with the world what we have received in the Eucharist. We show the world who Jesus is. In the host, Jesus is present. Jesus is now the host. And we show that to the world after we have received communion. That's why we have the veneration of the Blessed Sacrament and the procession outside. How else do we demonstrate that we have received communion, that we have received the second person of the Trinity in the Eucharist? Again, we become more loving people, and we should let that expression take its own dynamic. We can connect this with the Gospel today. In the Gospel, we see that Jesus fed the crowds because He felt pity for them. He loved them so much that instead of sending them away, He fed them himself. He told his disciples to feed them themselves. So what does that mean? It means that when we receive Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ who fed the crowds, the 5,000 men, we also become more hospitable, and we would like others to share in that partake of the life of the Trinity. And you see, that's how we overcome divisions. We would like to bring others to that same feast we already partake in the Eucharist at Mass. The Mass was prefigured in the feeding of the 5,000. First, we see that Jesus Christ, by talking to the people, prepare them to receive the bread. By talking to the crowds, Jesus made them more hungry, but not for bread, but for himself. It is ironic, I think, that the disciples, the apostles, didn't see what Jesus was trying to do, and they were instead trying to dismiss the crowds. It is ironic because they were trying to send people away to find something they actually had in there, right in their midst, Jesus Christ, the God and man. Jesus then told his disciples to feed them. In that, we can see a prefigurement of the liturgy of the Eucharist. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave the bread in turn to the people. The people were prepared by Jesus through his word. He made them hungry with his word. We then ought to speak to others in example and in word about Christ and make the word hungry for Christ. Will there be enough food for all the people that will come through our preaching, through example, and through word? We saw in the gospel that 12 baskets were filled with leftovers. This shows that God gives in abundance. Abundance is an expression of love. Love is abundance, and that's who God is, love. So he continues at every Mass to give himself to all of us. For he's outside of time. So in the present, in the past, and in the future, he continues to give himself to all of us and the ones there are to come. At the Mass, we are fed with the body and blood of Christ under the appearance of bread. Bread signifies physical food because we need nourishment, yet hidden under the appearance of bread and wine, Jesus feeds us with his body and blood because we also need spiritual nourishment. The soul was created eternal, so it follows that the food the soul needs is also eternal. It is significant that in the gospel the crowd was in a deserted place. The Lord allows us to experience hunger like his people in the desert so that we will learn that he would satisfy our spiritual hunger as well. And this happens with the word of God. The word makes us hungry for Christ. There is a danger sometimes to receive the Eucharist and not being aware of who really are that we are receiving in the sacrament. If this happens, we might not realize it, but we might turn people away like the disciples were trying to do in the gospel. The disciples sent people away for spiritual food somewhere else. They told Jesus, dismiss them so they can go find food themselves. Here, again, the irony is that Jesus was there, the food, the bread of life, the bread from heaven, as Thomas Aquinas named Jesus. They were trying to dismiss the crowds to find somewhere else what they had in their midst. They were in the desert, and there were villages nearby, but it was still the desert, not much there for food. Our world is a desert as well, and we suffer from hunger every time we are away from the Eucharist. We have to come back to be fed because we go into a desert out there in the world where there's not much out there. That's why the Lord allows us to suffer hunger in the world so we can come back to church, to the Eucharist, to the Mass, to get this food, be renewed, be refreshed, become new people. What we have to make sure is that we do not end up sending people away from this oasis of love, and ask the Lord Jesus to dismiss the crowds and tell him to send them away. Go find somewhere else what they would be able to find here in the church. We can also accidentally send people away from this sacrament, thinking that we are not good enough to bring others to Christ. There's a tendency to think that we only have 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread, and that's not enough to bring other people here to the Eucharist. Jesus works with what we have in order to bring others to him. We just need to be humble and let him work. He would use what we have, the little that we have, to feed others through us. This month, we finish celebrating the year for the priests. As we know, the numbers of priests are few. Yet, these few priests do extraordinary things for the people of God, and we ought to be thankful for that. The Lord uses the little resources that we have in order to do marvelous things in the world. Today, Jesus continues to feed his people through his priests. It is proper then that we get in the readings today Psalm 110 and the first reading from Genesis about Melchizedek, the priest. He's a prefigurement of Christ, the high priest. Christ gives us other priests to feed us with his body and soul because he wants to remain with us forever. He wants to satisfy our hunger, a hunger that is increased by the world. The world cannot offer us much, but he can. We can be thankful for the priest the Lord is giving us because they are the 2 loaves and the 5 fish that continue to feed the crowds of people that go hungry in the world.